And hello again, and we are back with the Beyond the 90 podcast, powered by One Shot Football. I'm your host, Steve McBain. We're here as usual in Singapore, and we're again at District 10. A big thanks to Chef Luca for hosting us as usual. And, well, we've got a full lineup and a full show. We've got three special guests today. We've got a pod regular, Mr. William Ho. How are you, William?
Doing very well.
Spurs doing well?
Fantastic. We're going to win it.
Okay, we'll be talking about them a little bit later. And regular pundit, Mr. Tom Moran. Tom, how are you?
Excellent. All good here. Thank you very much, Steve.
And we have a very special guest all the way from England via New Zealand, Mr. Anthony Lynch. Lynchy, how are you?
Very well, thanks.
Okay, now, Lynchy, you're going to promise to talk up a little bit. And as all first-time pundits have to go through, we're going to ask you, who do you support, for how long, and why?
Oh, well, I support Watford, and I've supported him since a little boy.
Since August?
Since August? Oh, no, since John Barnes era. That's giving away a little story. Used to go with my dad when I was a little boy, and he supported him as a little boy as well, so I'm a lifelong fan. I come from very near there, so I love the Golden Boys.
Big Elton John fan, presumably?
Love Elton John, and love Graham Taylor.
Okay, and then the other thing is we always ask who your favourite player is. Probably Mo Johnston, I'm guessing.
Oh, it can't be that. But it's a short choice of Nigel Callaghan or Johnny Barnes, but Johnny Barnes wins the vote.
John Barnes, well, a fine player he was indeed. Now, in part one, we're gonna motor through the week's news, and someone who is motoring is Leicester. William, they just keep on trucking. That was a hell of a performance against Manchester City. Can they do it?
No, I really do not think they're going to do it.
By Spurs fan alert.
Well, my view is that against teams like City and Arsenal, they might even win this weekend and still not do it, because it's not the bigger teams that they should worry about. It's actually the teams that are fighting relegation.
They've got a run of games up against these teams. But at the same time, I mean, you know, those clubs are in relegation trouble because they've been poor, right?
Yeah, but at the same time, they're not going to allow that much space for Leicester, like City or Arsenal. Okay. They're just going to sit back, and you know, Vardy is not going to get his space. They're not going to push that line so high up for Vardy.
He's so fast, he doesn't need any space.
I mean, they only need to win 9 games to clinch the league. They're going to beat Arsenal this weekend. So that's only 8 more to win. You know, and there's the quality of the players they have, and you look at how fast, and as Steven said, how fast Jamie Vardy is.
Yeah.
I don't think it doesn't really matter how anybody plays against them. I think they've got a very, very good chance of winning.
Well, we'll be talking about Arsenal Leicester and how Per Mertesacker is going to deal with Vardy this weekend. But also in the news this week, Derby, despite professing this long-term view, and Paul Clement was going to be there, Alex Ferguson. Tom, I mean, you're our expert in all things Championship. This is surely a very short-term decision and a poor one.
I mean, yeah, I mean, the chairman, Mr. Morris, in November about Derby came out and said that Clement could be the next Alex Ferguson and build a dynasty.
And he's the next Florentino Perez, it seems.
Yeah, so, you know, to sack him when he was told at the start of the season promotion is not what we're after. We want to build on last season. And he said this week they sacked him because they're not playing the Derby way, which is how they played under McLaren at the beginning.
Presumably that's the same as the West Ham way, right?
Nobody knows what it is, apparently, but attacking football. It's, to me, and everybody has said it's a shock to sack him. They're fifth in the Championship. Okay, yeah, he spent a lot of money. He spent $25 million on some good young players. And they have not won in 7. You know, I'd like to say that them drawing with Fulham has caused him to be sacked. So I apologise. Although in my personal theory is Ancelotti was announced the manager of Bayern Munich on the 20th of December. Their poor run of form started about a week long afterwards. So I think that Clement knew he probably had an assistant's job to go to at Bayern Munich in the summer. So maybe he took his foot off the gas.
Okay. All right. Well, another disappointing decision from an English club. Now, another manager who's currently out of work is Jose Mourinho. He's been strongly linked with United for the last week or so. I mean, Lynchy, do we believe these stories? I mean, what does this mean for United going forward? It's Pep versus Jose part two.
Oh, I agree. I think it's a done deal. Definitely, I think he's there, and I think he's very motivated to do a good job. His nose has been put out of joint, I think, with the Chelsea experience.
I mean, certainly, I think with Mourinho, his ego dictates that he doesn't probably like being unemployed. And I remember when he was going back to Chelsea, the rumour mill was in full swing at about this time that he was definitely going back. So, I mean, you think this is done, yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's going to take over in the summer, bring some players in and build them up again.
I mean, so this will obviously be the, I mean, William, this will be the big, you know, story in English football now. Is there going to be a new, you know, sort of Manchester, you know, rivalry, you know, even bigger than it is now? I mean, where does this leave Chelsea? I mean, I'm not quite sure where they're really going with a new manager and, you know, how easy it's going to be for them to attract players next summer. In a bit of trouble, right?
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea can never turn back the clock and say, you know what, can we have Jose back? Because it's not going to happen. So when it was announced that Pep is going to City, it's almost done deal that Mourinho is going to Man United. So Chelsea, I have no clue who's the best guy to take over.
But does this not show how far United have fallen, though? I mean, surely you know that Mourinho is only a 2 or 3 year option.
Okay. So is Pep.
Yeah, but surely Man United get Mourinho is just reactive. They're reacting now to what Man City have done. Surely a lot of Man United fans from their past 10 or 15 years are going to be disappointed in it. And also, could this be the only job that Mourinho could get? He obviously wasn't wanted back in La Liga. You know, Ancelotti's gone to Bayern Munich. Laurent Blanc's extended at PSG. Where is he going
to
go?
Yeah, I mean, I guess he could only really go back to Serie A. I mean, I think Mancini's doing a so-so job at Inter.
I don't know. I mean, it depends on how motivated Pochettino is about money, because Abramovich can just throw him a big paycheck. And then, you know,
I can't see Pochettino leaving Spurs for Chelsea. I could see him leaving Spurs for Man United. But anyway, we'll see. I mean, Pep, for me, second most overrated manager in the world. Who's number one?
Martinez, I guess.
Absolutely, Roberto Martinez. For all our regular listeners, we'll know exactly what I think of that chap. I just have to get that in, even though we're not even discussing Everton.
It's harsh.
And in the news overnight, Adam Johnson has been sacked. He's obviously pleaded guilty to some very serious charges in court. I mean, guys, I mean, it's different for a football club versus a normal employer. I mean, footballers have a huge value which is on their, you know, on their balance sheet. I mean, Sunderland will have to replace the player. I guess something in the region of 10 to 15 million is probably the value you'd put on Johnson. I mean, is there any choice for the club here, you know, Lynchy? I mean, they have to sack him, right? But
well,
it's an expensive decision, right?
He's been sacked, hasn't he? But Chad Evans last year, same scenario. He's been done for a serious assault and you can't touch him.
What's happened?
He's never got a club. He's three clubs were close to him, and the people went no. And director Sheffield United, their board of directors, three of them walked out. It's the same, in my opinion. Johnson should have been sacked as soon as the allegations came to light because of the nature of the allegations.
Well, it's innocence for proof.
But I mean, but the thing for the clubs, right, is, I mean, like Chelsea had this with Adrian Mutu, you know, when he got done, and I mean, I think they actually tried to sue Mutu. I mean, Sunderland could try and sue Johnson. I don't know whether, I mean, William, maybe there should be a code of conduct that the players have to sign up to, and if they're in breach of that?
Well, the code of conduct is pretty much anything that's against the law is not right.
Well, so, I guess within their contract, they're not allowed to, but there wouldn't be anything that says that there's a financial penalty if they're fouled.
Well, the problem is now football players are just not football players.
Yeah.
They are role models, and
I don't agree with that. I think they're there to play football.
Well, they're more famous than they've ever been. They are Hollywood superstars now because everyone knows them. It's a global sport. They have a responsibility, and he's done some very, very bad things. Mm. So,
but for the clubs, I mean, could they put something into the contracts which you have to pay back a percentage of your wages or something? Or, I mean, would that even be legal? I don't know.
Which club had the black? I can't remember who had the black book that you had to sign up to years ago, and it had a list. I think it might have been Madrid that you had to sign up, and it was a load of off-field things that if you did any of these things wrong, you were fined like a percentage of your salary.
I think you could be right. Yes.
You know, it should be along those things, but surely. Not taking this individual into account, but surely a decent human being knows the difference between right and wrong.
I'm just looking at a way for the clubs to protect themselves, because rather than just writing off, you know, a £10 million asset, I mean, the only thing that Sunderland can really do is what Chelsea did with Mutu, is probably just bankrupt the guy, but that doesn't really recover the money for the club.
But the club that's in that position, they've now got £60,000 a week player off their books now that they've sacked him. You know, and the position they're in, if they do go down, that's £60,000 a week saved, which is a substantial amount of money.
Okay,
that's a good point.
All right, guys. Well, an ex-player and manager whose current value is absolutely zero is Gary Neville. Now, Tom, Valencia at home to Espanyol on Sunday. I mean, they were abject last weekend, got beat again, and then they played Barcelona second string during the week. I mean, he says that, you know, he seems to be saying the right things, but I mean, the results are just awful, right?
I mean, he's having a really torrid time. I do feel for him, because he was, I'm sure we'll all agree, was a great pundit. However, he doesn't seem to. Maybe I think he's gone to the wrong country. Communication, and as we've said before on this podcast, he struggled to learn the language, even though his brother's there. The ideas.
I don't think Phil Neville's going to help you to learn speak anything, really.
Apparently, he's done very, very well though at his Spanish lessons. He's been taking lots. He's doing 3 hours a day. He's picked up the language a lot quicker than Gary has.
So he's able to ask, like, the, you know, the Valencia players directions to get home.
Yeah. Dos cerveza, por favor.
Things like that. Yeah, how to get a beer and all that. The important thing.
Also, though,
that's what the bar bill.
Yeah, Negredo though, he cannot hit the target. I mean, his shots to accuracy ratio at the moment is
something to do with a banjo and a cow's backside.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about how managers should be given time, but this one, you know, he really has. He's not done. Results-wise, there's not really been anything positive since he got there.
I mean, I don't think that. I mean, it always looked a strange appointment. Other than his relationship with Peter Lim, which is rather not incestuous is the wrong word, but let's say very cozy. there didn't seem to be any logic for this.
Which is exactly what I was going to say next, because you have to understand someone like Peter Lim, who's a Singapore-made billionaire. His sense of loyalty is
just like you.
Yes. Yes, indeed. And he is a personal friend of Gary Neville. And he will, I think he will give Gary a lot more time than a lot of people think.
But they can't give much more time. They're in the relegation. They can't.
No. Gary Neville said he's not contemplating relegation, so that can't happen.
But their record since he was there is the worst in the league. Bar none.
It is pretty dismal. LA Sports so dismal at Anfield. 120 minutes in the cup against West Ham. Admittedly, not a full Liverpool team. I mean, guys. I mean, Klopp had a terrible end to his reign last season at Dortmund. I mean, is he on the decline? You know, the same that we could argue about Mourinho, or is this just a reflection of the fact that Liverpool have just got terrible players?
I think it's harsh. Like 5 games ago, you're saying Champions League and he's doing a great job, and now he's had a bad run. Barring one game against Norwich, it was a bit of a crazy game. It's not happening at the moment, but I don't think the quality is.
But have you been watching? I mean, they're so poor.
Yeah.
I mean, even the game they won at Norwich, they were. If Norwich had had, you know, a modicum of ability and, you know, and just nerve. I mean, they're just terrible.
Yeah, well, Sturridge is the only quality.
Well,
he's too busy making hats.
He lasted an hour on Wednesday night without anything falling off.
Yeah.
So that was...
It's unbelievable. I was watching the West Ham-Liverpool game, and if I didn't really look at the names properly, I thought it was a championship team. Sorry, Tom. But...
This is one of the things. I think pundits, bookies, everything this year. I mean, even if you look at the odds on the matches, I think everyone's been very guilty of backing teams off reputation. Whether it's Chelsea, Manchester United, Liverpool, you just think, oh, because it's one of these guys. But if you actually look at these teams, they're poor, and Liverpool are dreadful.
Everyone that's made a prediction this season is backfired on them. No one has come out of it as well. I think, though, for Klopp, though, I think he does deserve a pre-season.
Oh, he needs a summer. Yeah, he needs to get some players.
And that is a squad of mismanagement. That was the £75 million they got for Suarez was mismanaged. There's random players. You know, as Roger said, he didn't want Balotelli, but he was given Balotelli. He then signed Benteke for £32 million, and Benteke is obviously not a player that Jurgen Klopp likes. There's a lot of things that Klopp needs to do in the summer. However, though, I think he might struggle, though, because it's a Euro summer, so therefore his window is going to be shortened.
But even with Benteke, is he playing badly because he doesn't suit Liverpool, or is he playing badly because he's got zero confidence because of the way that Klopp's treated him, William?
I think it's just different style of playing. Benteke used to be the point man for all the long balls, but it's not happening for Liverpool because Klopp wants to play style football, aka similar to Borussia Dortmund, but the present Liverpool team doesn't have a Borussia Dortmund squad.
But at the same time, I mean, you know, Rodgers didn't play long ball, so why the hell did they buy him in the first place? Anyway,
that's why he's got fired.
All right. Okay. Well, that'll take us to the end of part one, and we'll be back with part two, and hopefully a lively discussion. Okay, so here we are back with part two of the Beyond the 90 podcast. You can listen to us on Stitcher, on Audio Boom, and on iTunes. But I'd venture if you're listening to this, you've already found us. Now then, as is traditional, we'll delve into our discussion in part two. Now this week, Liverpool actually did enjoy some success, but it's their fans off the pitch. They staged a protest against ticket price rises that were proposed for next season. We've also seen Dortmund fans throwing tennis balls, even though, I mean, you know, tickets in Germany are so cheap anyway. But I mean, guys, given the players on show, the quality of the product that we're always told with the Premiership, is football overpriced? And if it is, Lynchy, then why are all the grounds full?
Well, to be honest, I think the product's there. It's an economical thing, isn't it? Supply and demand. One of the few games I've gone to in a Premiership, Man United, couple of years ago, and
glory hunter.
Well, it's half full of tourists, and that's the reason why the prices are the prices. My opinion is, I think season ticket holders are the committed supporters who are buying season tickets should be looked after in some way. I'm not sure how. Maybe a progressive reduction in your price or a set price for the season ticket holder who's proven to be a season ticket holder. Because the day tickets, you want to make money. But you want the players.
But I mean, Tom, there's huge amounts of revenue coming in from TV now. I mean, this new deal is monstrous. I mean, should some of this be passed through to the terraces? I mean, do the clubs still have a duty to retain, you know, some, you know, the links with the community? I mean, Liverpool seems to be one of the few clubs that do actually listen to their fans. I mean, Swansea are part owned, but on the whole, I mean, I don't think, you know, the likes of Manchester United, Arsenal, Chelsea, I don't think they care.
Well, it's just economics, right? I mean, end of the day.
But it is a football club more than just that. I mean, yes, it is a business, but
it's a business.
I think it was, you know, it is a business. It was
It was a club.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, give an example. I mean, me and you, we traveled all the way from Singapore to watch a Chelsea game, and we paid over the top money because we want to watch a Chelsea game at Stamford Bridge.
But the vast majority of the fans that go every week. I mean, what you're saying is that these clubs are now franchises, effectively, and they're probably even portable. But the fan that goes every week still sees this as their club, Tom, no? I mean, do the clubs not have a responsibility to listen to this and to adhere to that?
I mean, you think, in the grand scheme of things, how much money they make from match day, okay, in terms of ticket sales, is actually very, very small. When you think about the TV money, the merchandise money, and everything else that goes along with that. So the actual, your average Joe fan on the street.
So then therefore money, a freeze on ticket prices isn't really going to hurt the club?
No, yeah. If not, it should be cheaper. This week they had the £30 away ticket cap that was put out to all the Premier League clubs, saying the maximum value for an away ticket should be £30. Out of all the clubs in the Premier League, only Watford said yes. That should be the maximum. I mean, if you look across some of the other leagues,
that's because they've only got room for 10 away.
No, we've built that stand now. I have to point that out.
He's called it Elton John Stand.
No, yes.
There's the Elton John Stadium, I think.
It's exactly where we used to stand.
The cheapest season ticket: Barcelona, £74. Bayern Munich, £104.
Sure, but at the same time, how much do Barcelona take in membership fees?
Well, I'm not sure. I'm not aware of those numbers.
Yeah.
Have you got those numbers?
No, but I'm guessing that, I mean, they have so many members that, you know, there's probably something similar again paid in membership fees, right?
Oh yeah, as a Fulham fan, I'm a Fulham member as well, and that cost me £30 a season just to be a Fulham member, so that gives me access to tickets before everybody else.
Why would you be a member of Fulham? I
don't know. For the history, Steve. History. You know, Grade 2 listed building. You know, the average price of a Premier League season ticket is nearly £500. Is that worth it? Would you be, you know, you look at some of the teams, and not offensively to them or their football, but that's you know, compared to Barcelona, that's a huge difference. You know, if you can bet a season ticket for £74, why would I want to pay £500 a season to go to Norwich?
I don't actually think that the quality of the Premiership is that good. I mean, you look at the teams that, you know, well, certainly if you look at the top.
I disagree, because it's interesting, because the bottom can beat the top. In the La Liga, it's pretty much you've had two sides dominating it for decades now, where you watch the Premiership and this year Leicester at top.
But this is like, you know, paying to watch, you know, reality TV, the Kardashians, versus watching the Sopranos or The Wire. I mean, lots of people are addicted to it and, you know, find it very, very entertaining and addictive. But, you know, William, is the product actually any good in the Premiership anymore?
Well, it's...
I mean, God, Spurs are second. Yeah. I mean,
Spurs. I think it's subjective, because we all grew up watching English football. So to us, you know, the Bundesliga is boring. Even, well, they probably have a couple of really decent teams. So it's really a matter of people that are used to English football, and we would pick.
So what's the most important thing here, guys, then? You would rather have excitement than quality football. This was always the argument with Serie A, right, back in the 80s and the 90s, that they were very, very good teams, but it was just super dull.
I think it's more than that. It's basically a league that I can identify with, period.
But again, but then you're saying, so you think it's important to be able to identify with it, but the whole point with this is that the fans who are going every week can no longer identify with it. And I'll guarantee you that if those grounds were not full, people would not be tuning into that league. I know myself, if I flick through the channels on a Saturday or a Sunday night and there's a Serie A game that maybe catches my eye, as soon as I see those empty terraces, I switch it off. You don't want to watch football that's played in an empty stadium with no atmosphere.
And the thing is, now in the Premier League, if you were to think, there is such a waiting list for season tickets. You have to think about, what is the ordinary fan going without? Okay, if that season ticket's been in your family, say for 20 or 30 years, and the price of it's going up, that the average worker on the street, okay, and you've got some of these season tickets now are getting close to £1,000. Some of their children might be going out with, you know, school shoes, because they're just trying to keep hold of this season ticket and the debt that it's pushing families into.
Tom is a signed up Communist Party member, by the way, just to add.
No, I just think that where all the money's coming from, you think about that huge Premier League TV deal that kicks in next season, that is huge, huge money.
How do you look after them supporters then? That's the big question, is how to look after that loyal family lifelong supporter.
20's plenty. Yeah. You know, that's a great campaign, 20's plenty. Look at it, you know, for, I mean,
even
for
if,
tickets.
Even if you, for instance, if you, I mean, I'm sure Liverpool, you know, they've made these concessions on the prices. I'm sure they'll get it back through pies and coffees and jacking up prices. But at least with that, you're giving people a choice on what they spend when they're there. You don't have to consume things and buy things when you're there. At least if the season ticket is affordable, at least you have a choice.
So with the back down from Liverpool, they've gone from £77 back down to £59 for the most expensive match day ticket in that new stand. The most that is going to make them over a season with that back down is £2 million. Is that £2 million... In the grand scheme of things, what are they going to use that £2 million for? If they value a player like...
Pay for Christian Benteke for 6 months.
Well, no, the guy that went ended up going to China, Chiesa, you know my pronunciation is terrible, Chiesa, he was bid at £28 million. Would they have used that £2 million to go for him? No. They would have set their stall out at £28 million, so that £2 million has just gone into somebody's pocket. Surely, as it says, fans, but football without fans is nothing.
But William, I mean, we're saying that, okay, so Liverpool have backed down, but there's a shiny new stand. I mean, Liverpool have improved the viewing experience for everybody in that stand. Is it not right then for Liverpool to expect to be able to charge more?
Well, yes and no. Yes, because you've got better facility and, like you said, the view is better. But end of the day, they need to win games, because after a while, the fans will just shy away.
But there's almost no correlation between ticket prices and
success. That, yeah, right.
I mean, if the Guardian ran a survey, and you're just looking at who's happy and who's not, and what's quite interesting is it's mainly the teams at the top where people are unhappy. I mean, I think the Stoke fans were very happy. I think West Brom was fairly happy. I think Watford, they were kind of okay. So there was some of the guys at the bottom were actually feeling a bit better. But Sunderland, I think they, you know, sort of seemed to be okay. Well, certainly the fans.
Is there an element because they've been up and down and yo-yo in and possibly on the edge of relegation, they're happy to be in the Premiership, to have that product? that they watch every week, where the people at the top, they demand a lot as a supporter. They demand success as well as the premium seat, the whole experience. Arguably, you've got to pay for it as well.
Well, this is the thing. You know, you are watching apparently the best players in the world. Now, there are, I mean, English football is fairly unique and there's such a depth through the leagues and the non-league structure. There is a lot of football available. You don't have to watch the Premiership. It's like, for instance, lots of people, you know, want to drive a Mercedes or a BMW, but they can't necessarily afford it. They have to drive something else. So if the Premiership, the top tier is expensive, you do have the option to go and buy, you know, to go and watch something else.
And that's true, and you do have some great fan-owned clubs as well, which is a good thing, which I think a lot of people, you'll find some very happy fans at the fan-owned clubs, as you touched on earlier. Swansea, a section of their club is owned by that. Pompey is fully owned by its supporters, as is Exeter and a couple of other clubs as well. I mean, I think that's a great thing. You know, they're putting, you know, the actual club more ahead of the money, which is what football should be about.
I mean, you know, there's these the Manchester United guys who've got their own club, and you know, they've
Salford.
No, not those distasteful people. The fans group.
Oh, FC United.
United. You know, that's, you know, they've said, look, we don't agree with everything that's going on there,
and they on FC United, they just crowdfunded their own stadium for $6.3 million. That's a great thing.
I mean, people do have the choice to vote with their feet, but I guess if it's a club you've supported lifelong, and that's one thing, it's not just supply and demand. The clubs, you know, tug on the heartstrings of these guys all the time. These are the guys that are buying the shirts and, you know, turning up every week. I mean, they must have a duty of care to these guys, surely.
Without doubt. I mean, hands down, you know, you look at some people, and there is, as well, you have to look at this north-south divide, and I don't mean to bring sort of politics into it, but in England, obviously, people in London, they do tend to earn more money. So you can understand why ticket prices might be a little bit more expensive.
Well, everything in London is more expensive than the rest of the country.
Arsenal at 100 quid a game, you work in London, it's a normal sort of thing to do and pay for it. You go to the theatre, it's the same sort of price. So it's relative.
Yeah,
it's,
and then if you look at Liverpool...
What have you been to see at the theatre lately?
Oh, Bombay Dreams, I think, was the last one. It was very beautiful.
Yeah, you go.
But then if you look at Anfield and you look where the houses are, you know, around Anfield, you'd like to know that can those people that live within the literal, as we always say, the stone's throw of the stadium, could they afford week in, week out to go to Anfield? Yeah. And I probably think the answer's no.
Yeah. Well, the kids just had to go without shoes then.
Yeah. Well, and dinner.
I went to theatre once. It was terrible.
Oh, overrated, was it? Yeah. Which one?
All right, guys, so I mean, which one? I don't know, I was asleep.
Oh.
Look, I mean, I think it's, you know, I think the thing with football is it clearly is going one way, but at the same time, I don't see how the value of the Premiership can keep going up and up and up and inflate constantly when the rest of the world has minimal inflation, disposable incomes are not going up. I mean, at some point, this thing has to eat itself. And if that TV deal collapses, which at some point it might, because these guys, Sky, are having to divest from other sports, BT's losing money hand over fist. You know, these guys, they might well need these fans at some point in the future. Anyway, congratulations to the Liverpool fans this week. It was nice to see, but probably just one battle in a wider war that is being lost. That will take us to the end of part two, and we'll be back with part three. We'll be previewing some of the weekend's more interesting games, and it's our quiz, and it's on relegation. Okay, so here we are back with part three, the final part of today's Beyond the 90 podcast, powered by One Shot Football. You can get all your latest news and views, tactical analysis, and everything that's up to date with the Premiership at www.oneshotfootball.com. Now, in part three, we're going to preview some of the more interesting fixtures potentially this weekend, and then we'll finish with our quiz. It's on relegation, and I predict some relegation from our pundits today. Now then, Norwich West Ham. Tom, Norwich were absolutely rubbish last week against Villa, shipping goals and looking bereft of confidence. I mean, all these home games really now for them are must wins. And West Ham, can they finish fifth?
Definitely. Norwich are really in the mire. So yeah, it's a massive must win game for them. They've conceded 16 goals in the last five. So they're definitely very, very leaky. West Ham, though, I think they might find it a little bit tough. They've not won at Carrow Road since 1973.
73, I heard that this morning.
Yeah. also, though, Payet's just signed a new contract, £125,000 a week.
Linked with China this morning, I heard.
Linked with China, but signed his new contract at West Ham for £125,000 a week. So it makes him West Ham's best player in probably by quite a lot of money. So surely now he has to step up his game and West Ham have to step up his game. And I really do hope that they do take the fifth spot away from Manchester United and put Man U further down the league. I predict a good West Ham win, 3-0.
So you're going with an away win. We do predict an inordinate amount of away wins here. Yes. William, what are you thinking here?
It's gonna be tough for Norwich. I mean, like, you just watch some of the West Ham games. Payet is just unbelievable, and it's no surprise that it's no surprise that Chinese are willing to fork out the money for him if it's anywhere near the truth.
So
I think it's going to 0-2 to West Ham.
Okay, Lynchy.
Well, we didn't take into account a very long game over the midweek for West Ham, so I'm going for a bit of a boring draw. Norwich trying not to let goals in, and West Ham being very tired, so. Maybe a one-off for me.
I'm really gutted about Norwich because I love Alex Neil, but they're just not very good. But I do think that 120 minutes in midweek will tell, especially as, you know, the way West Ham trying to play. So I'll go with Lynchy and I'll go for a draw as well. We've got a bit of Chinese New Year background music as well, which is just adding to the flavour and the atmosphere. And somewhere where there should be a good atmosphere and should be a good game is Swansea against Southampton. Lynchy's two good sides, a good form.
Yeah,
Southampton powering up the table.
Yeah, Swansea have turned it round a little bit. Very gutted they beat Watford the other week under their new manager. Saints have turned it around massively. I think they're four games in a row they've won. They're looking like the side that we were watching last year. Forrest, who is a bit of a legend in goal at the moment, I think he's five clean sheets in a row.
Well, I mean, since he's come back, that just seems to have been the thing. Yeah. I mean, he seems to be like, you know, it's like Stoke with Ryan Shawcross. When he's in the team, they do well. When he's not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just think Saints are going to continue this. I'm seeing probably a 3-1 to Saints.
So another away win.
Yeah, another away win.
Tom?
I totally agree. It's a great point there by Lynchy about Fraser being back in nets for Saints. It shows the
surely the number one keeper in England now.
Yeah, I mean, he's always been in and around the England squad.
Any mention that someone's better than Jack Butland? And
well, he's not at Jack Butland's level yet. He's only had a couple of games back into it. You know, like Super JB. However, Southampton may miss Wanyama. Obviously, he's now out for God knows how long after his third red card.
Five games.
Yeah, five games. Third red card of the season. Oh. I still think, Saints win. I agree with Lynchy. I'm going to go 2-0 Saints.
Okay, William?
I think it's going to be a 1-1. Swansea go 1-0 up, and Southampton is going to equalise in the second half.
All right, I'm going to go with a home win. 1-0 to the Swans.
Scorer?
Sigurdsson.
It's got to be Sigurdsson.
Yeah, it has to be. It's five in the last six, I think, isn't it?
Correct, yes, yeah.
All right, no. Oh, no. I don't know why I keep putting Chelsea on the list. Chelsea, Newcastle, I mean, Chelsea's still unbeaten under Hiddink, but it's pretty dismal. Newcastle don't travel well, but they have done extremely well at Stamford Bridge of late, and they love being on terrestrial TV, or sorry, on British TV. William? What's going to happen here?
Well, I think Chelsea's going to nick this one 1-0.
All right, that's good enough for me. Lynchy?
Well, I think Chelsea, they've got to win this one. 3-1, I think they're going to put on a bit of style, but they need goals.
Well, Hiddink still think they can make Champions League, right?
Well, I mean, it's amazing, right?
They've had
six draws under Hiddink. If they'd even converted three of those into
two of them were Watford, by the way.
Well, I was at Stamford Bridge for that game.
Sorry.
Well, Watford were a better team. You know, even if they'd an extra 6 points, that would take them up to, I think, eighth. Yeah. And then you start to get into the realms of respectability. But, yeah, I mean, it's been poor. But anyway, so home win for you as well?
Home win, 3-1.
Tom?
Yeah, I will go for a home win. Obviously, Newcastle are terrible on the road. Lost their last 9 in 12 or in this season. But it is a TV game though, Steve, so you never know which Newcastle team might turn up. They do like to play on the TV.
I think big time Charlies, that's all they are.
I think Chelsea though will nick it 2-1, probably Diego Costa and a nice red card for him as well to send him on his way.
There you go. Alright, now, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll do Villa-Liverpool first before we move on to the two top four clashes. I mean, Villa, they have to start winning. It's as simple as that. Liverpool have been absolutely pants. This could be a really, really dreadful fixture. Oh. Anyone want to talk about this?
Well, I wouldn't actually turn on a TV show to watch this game because it's just going to be absolutely rubbish.
I mean, Villa. That's it, mate. Get the listeners enthused.
0-0.
0-0.
We obviously know neither side are playing very good football at the moment. Sturridge has a possibility of starting.
I don't think they'll start him.
If he starts, Liverpool to win 2-0.
And then he can do his dance and advertise his caps.
Pretty much.
All right, so you going with a draw. We've got a Liverpool
again,
win now.
Yeah.
Tom?
I will go with a Liverpool win. However, I do find it interesting, though, that since Liverpool last won the league, Peter Schmeichel signed for Manchester United, won it 5 times, retired and has had a son, and he'll win it with Leicester. Which is quite interesting. So I'll go for a Liverpool win, 1-0. Sturridge with his baseball cap on his head.
That is a good stat. I'm going to go with Villa. 2-1 to Villa. Okay, now we have got the two top four clashes on Sunday. So we'll start at the Emirates. Arsenal versus Leicester. I mean, Leicester were absolutely excellent against Manchester City. A win has sent them 8 points ahead of Arsenal. Lynchy?
Well, there is an obvious thought that Arsenal are going to press. Leicester love a counter-attack. They've got a very, very, very quick forward in Vardy. And Leicester love scoring goals, it looks like. But I'm tipping Arsenal to win this.
That Emirates crowd is on a real downer on Arsenal at the moment. This was meant to be their season finally. They sense it slipping away. It's not a noisy ground anyway. Could the crowd turn on them?
No, I think they've got to be behind them this week, and I really believe Arsenal at home in London, maybe a bit of a calm down from last weekend for Leicester as well. They're on a crest of a wave. They've got to fall off sometime, so I think Arsenal are the team to take them off this. So 1-0 to Arsenal.
Okay.
I think Leicester is going to start to crumble. The fact that they won at City just put.
I think I said that in October.
Well, the thing that they did, the fact that they won at Etihad, you know, suddenly put this idea into their brains that, you know what, we actually might win it, which is the beginning of the fall. Arsenal 2, Leicester 0.
When's is the Champions League start this week?
Yeah, Champions League starts next week. Yes.
Arsenal this week?
Arsenal the following week. They do have a gap.
It would be really helpful if I checked this beforehand.
Yes. They do have a gap before they face Barcelona.
Okay, all right.
However, though,
they'll have a gap after they face Barcelona as well.
I think Leicester are going to win. If they play Mertesacker, and as I'm sure you've heard and read this week, Steve, a few people have said that Mertesacker should have started running on Tuesday, so hopefully he can catch Vardy by Saturday. It doesn't matter if Arsenal sit deep. I think Vardy is that quick. He has a way through the centre of Arsenal. The Emirates is a big, expansive pitch, which is going to suit Leicester as much as it suits Arsenal. Leicester have nothing else to worry about apart from the Premier League. They're out of all the other cups.
I think the key player for me here is not Vardy or Mahrez or whatever, but
Conte
is the player. Yeah, exactly. He's the player that Arsenal should have. He was immense against Manchester City.
I heard Walcott is starting a centre back to mark Vardy.
Walcott can't play anywhere on a football pitch. He has no football brain whatsoever. I think Leicester will nick this 1-0 or 2-1.
Come on, Leicester. I'm going Leicester as well.
Oh.
Okay, all right. Well, that will be, I think that'll be a really, really cracking fixture. Now, William, Spurs are going to Manchester City. They are... they're going for the title. City are injured. Injuries everywhere. No David Silva.
Well, Steve, you remember last time we watched this game together, we got hammered like 5-0 at halftime, I think.
That was just the beer, right? but you thrashed them at White Hart Lane. I mean, that was an immense performance, I remember.
You know what? I think we are the best team this season, but can we do it as a city?
I mean, Spurs have got, have typically had against the top four teams, have had a mental block, especially away from home.
Exactly.
Spurs, was it opening game of the season, the first game you
Man
lost?
United, we lost. We lost three games in the season, and it goes against team that we, you know, Leicester was the other one that we lost. I hate to say this, but I think we're going to choke against City. Impartial view, City 1, Spurs 0.
I mean, Aguero seems to be up to speed, but I mean, Tom Toure is just doing nothing, right? He's just sleepwalking through games. He knows that he's going to be out in the summer. I mean, Guardiola's already sold him once.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's a few... I mean, we spoke last week and we thought that, oh, City might push on and try and do their best for Pellegrini as a sort of a send-off. It seems to have been, they maybe have gone the other way. They sort of seem to have signed off knowing that there's a change in the summer, which may be a bad...
I really don't see how you knowing that your manager's going to, can in any way be positive. It can only be a negative.
Footballers...
your contracts.
And some of them are...
Look at Chelsea this season, right? I mean,
you know, surely some of them should be looking at it as an audition for next season. Obviously, Yaya's probably a sign that he's going to walk. They have got a big injury list of 7, you would argue, first-team players. However, Spurs have the best defence in the league. And as much as Aguero's firing, and he is my fantasy football captain, I think they'll struggle to get through. I mean, not Aguero personally, but I just think the service to Aguero is not going to be good enough. I think you're probably looking at maybe at best a 1-1 draw.
All right, so you going for a draw here?
Yeah.
Well, William?
I say 1-0 to City. I'm just hedging my emotions.
Yeah.
Richie?
Spurs continue. They've been the ever near boys, I think, for many, many years. They kind of get in this position many times and then they fall off. But it seems a good manager, some quality squad. I think they're going to do it this week.
Honestly, if I think we win, I think we win the league. Seriously.
Yeah. You look at the City team, right? You've got no De Bruyne, no David Silva. And then you've got a back line of De Michaelis and Otamendi. I mean, they're getting found out here. They've got too many players that aren't good enough. I think they'll be good enough to get a point here, which I don't really think helps either side. So I'm going to go with a draw also. All right, well, those were the games we're going to preview, and now it is our relegation quiz. My relegation quiz, I should say. Now, William, are you listening?
Yes.
Okay. When was the last time Aston Villa were relegated from the top flight?
Is this Premier League current or...?
Last time they were relegated from the top flight.
They've never been relegated from the Premier League.
Correct. So it's before the Premier League.
Does that not give me a point?
Nope.
Oh.
Because then I'd have said from the Premiership, wouldn't I?
79.
79?
84.
William?
87,
spot on. Points. William gets the points. Okay, the 1998-99 season, which division were Manchester City playing in?
Division 2.
Tom gets points first. All Division 3. Who was the top goal scorer that season?
Dickov.
The Russian guy.
No, the Georgian guy.
Georgian Klasdy, no.
Klasdy.
All you had to do was feed this guy.
The goat, Sean Gota.
Sean Gota, yeah. Feed the goat and he shall score. Now then, Lynchy, here's one for you. When was the last time Watford were relegated from the top flight?
2007.
Well, the other guys could have shouted in, but they didn't. Oh, okay. Since the inception of the Premiership, or more accurately, since football began, how many seasons have Watford played in it?
It is the third
season.
Oh, cool. Wow.
Bonus point, can you name the three seasons?
It was 99, 2000, 2006, 2007, or than now.
Wow, there you go. We've actually got a real fan.
Hold on.
Okay, now, since the inception of football, which team has been relegated the most from the Premier League and how many times?
Sunderland.
Nope. Four. Tom?
Jeez. This is tough.
You have to get your guesses in.
Charlton.
West Ham.
Charlton?
Newcastle.
No. William?
I just have no clue.
Burnley?
Crystal Palace.
Crystal Palace, yes. And how many times?
Three. Four?
Four?
Yes, Jessica.
Well, you can't just keep saying things. It is four. Okay, so it was 92, 93, 94, 95, 97, 98, 04, 05. What was unique about their relegation in the 94-95 season?
Was it the points deduction?
Nope.
That was when someone kicked...
No, that's when Eric Cantona kicked one of them.
Nope. Oh. No, what was unique about their relegation?
Oh, they actually finished on the same points where they got them?
Nope. No, they finished fourth from bottom, but it was when they cut it from 22 to 20, so four went down and two went up. Now, what was unique about last season for Palace in the Premiership?
They didn't go down.
Exactly, yeah, they didn't get relegated. It's the first time they've played and not get relegated. Okay, how many consecutive seasons did Wigan spend in the Premiership?
10.
10 from Lynchy?
Two?
Three. Lynch gets a point, it's 8 from 2005 to 2013.
Wicked, yeah.
Now, how many times, William, you're slacking badly here between these two boys, I think. How many times have Norwich been relegated from the Premiership?
Three.
Lynch gets the points again. Can anybody name the years that they were relegated?
Two seasons ago from now.
What's that?
Two seasons off that.
What are you going to say, eh?
Top 30.
No, it's 2016.
Yeah.
No, it's 2016 and it's two seasons ago.
We can't really count, we're just football fans.
13-14.
Yay! Yeah. Combined IQ of negative. Can we name the other two?
No idea.
Around 99, 2000?
Was it
Dealey? We'll be here all day. 94, 95 and 04, 05. What's their highest ever finish in the Premiership?
Seventh.
Second. Norwich, second. No way.
What are you going for?
10.
Lynch gets the points. They came third in the inaugural season, remember? Oh. Villa were second.
Knowledge.
Manchester United were fifth.
Yes.
Okay, what is Spurs' lowest finishing place in the Premier League?
11th.
It's worse than that.
He's gone 11th.
He's gone 11th.
15th it is, yes. Yeah. The 93-94. Right. Yeah. Although, yeah. Although in the 93-94 season, there were 22 teams in the league. But they've also finished.
But guess who saved us? Jurgen Klinsmann.
Okay. Now, how many seasons have West Bromwich Albion currently been in the Premiership consecutively?
Three.
So you're all going three?
Yeah.
You're all rubbish. It's six. No points for anyone. Now, so during the Premiership era, name the two clubs that have both won the Premiership and been relegated from it.
Blackburn.
Lynchy first.
Man City.
Manchester City's the other one, yeah. So, and how many times has City been relegated from the Premiership?
Twice.
Tom gets the points. Can anyone name the years?
96.
96, they went down, yeah. So how are you?
92?
No. Championship didn't start till 92, 93, mate.
Well, you just, you know what I meant.
2001.
Oh.
Okay. Now, name the only European club to be crowned champions and relegated in the same season.
Oh. Did you say Premiership or?
I said name the only European club.
Forest.
Not the Forest? Boom.
Porto.
Boom.
I'm allowed a second guess.
I'll go for 4 seconds.
Juventus, 2005-2006, the Calcio.
No! Trick question.
Well, it was pretty close, but
that was a Danny Murphy question.
I'm going to hand the win to Mr. Anthony Lynch.
Hey!
Congratulations.
Yes. Quiz is entered, yes. One wins one. Okay, well, that takes us to the end of today's Beyond the 90 podcast. I hope you enjoyed the Chinese New Year drumming in the background. It certainly made my life a lot easier. I'm your host, Steve McBain. Thanks for listening. A big thank you to Mr. William Ho.
Thank you.
quiz winner, Mr. Anthony Lynch.
Thank you.
And safe travels around the region and the whole thing as you continue around the world.
Yeah.
And Mr. Tom Warren, thank you very much as always.
Thank you very much, Steve. Thank you.
We will see how our predictions go and we'll be back next week. Cheers.